Starbound by Alison Lloyd. I've lived in the dark half a year, crossing deserts and mountains. Our footfalls spook me. The crunch of stones is swallowed in the vast dark. There's no other sound except the growl and grumble of the camels, the creak of saddlery, and the whisper of wind across dirt. The night has no edges. It goes on forever without horizons. If it weren't for the stars, a blanket of diamonds overhead, we wouldn't know which way was up, not to speak of east or west. When clouds black out the sky, we don't travel. We might walk over the edge of the world into death. I want to go home, back to daylight. Every night I think of making a run for it. But a runaway can't go back where they came from. The caravan is heavy laden. The saddlebags are loaded. We've got a king's ransom of gold and spices in them. Wealth. Extracted and concentrated, packed in tight. It makes my skin prickle when I throw my leg over it every night. We keep the cargo quiet, even more so now we're approaching the edge of the empire. We've nearly reached Judea. My master, grey-haired, billowing robe, imperious nose, says it's a province that we lost to the Romans before I was born. Lord, I will, him up the front, pointed teeth and ears, like a fox. He let the military escort think we're on a political mission, doing a hush-hush deal, parleying with the puppet king who rules Judea for the Romans. That's dangerous enough to keep the soldiers' mouths shut. The truth is weirder. My master is a royal advisor of sorts.
A magus of the old style.
A Zoroastrian priest. Feet on earth, head in the clouds. He studies the stars. One evening last summer, he came down from the rooftop with a freaky spark in his eyes, the silver wire of his beard glittering in the torchlight. Watching the stars has made him holy, people say back home.
The star of stars, he said.
It's in the sky. The time has come. Starstruck, his wife muttered. She hung charms around the door and his bed, but they didn't keep the spirits away. He had ghost light in his eyes all through autumn. He stayed up all night and then went to court in the morning. He was lobbying, he told me, when I mixed his ink and ran his messages. Most of the courtiers didn't want to know, called him an old fool. His friends told him to keep quiet for his own good. The star in ascendance around here is Queen Musa, they advised. She's got the throne marked. Her son will be the next king. But the master is about as flexible as a sword when the mood takes him. I sometimes think he would die for his beliefs. Other times he's just an old man with constipation and gout. Maybe when the Shah saw the star for himself, he feared the gods. Or maybe, as Lord Awil said, the Shah was hoping, expecting, the star would lead the caravan to the gates of Rome. That's where three of the Shah's other sons are exiled, to keep them away from Queen Musa and the throne. I barely know the half of the politics. Every slave dreams of kingship, but the closer you get to court, the more it takes the shine off your daydreams. Anyway, the Shah listened. He authorized an expedition. Follow the new star to the new king. Sweeten him up with gifts, buy his goodwill. Put Lord Awil in charge. The master wasn't happy. His hooked nose was badly out of joint. Lord Awil thinks that the master is moonstruck. A fool's chase, Lord Awil calls our trip. Superstition, A waste of time and resources. Lord Awil is the first to complain when the food is bad or the women ugly. He's a mean piece. I had to work extra for him on the master's orders. I got a new burn on my left arm when he threw an oil lamp at me. That was enough for me to mutter to the master in the dark, at the tail of the caravan, nursing my hand against my chest.
Why is he here even?
Why didn't he stay home? The master's saddle creaked with the camel's sway. The master was within his rights to give me one over the ear for complaining. Or for anything else. You're right, he doesn't want to be here. He's the Shah's man, sent to watch me. Don't you pity him? Him?
I thought.
What about me? When did I get the option to come or no? Be glad you're a eunuch, the master said. Took me a moment to think his words through before my stomach turned. First time I've had reason to be glad of that. We are heavy laden, the lot of us. Me, I am loaded with homesickness. Not just for daylight and the palm trees of the capital, but for a life I'll never have. Wife, children, choice. Lord Awil wants to go home too. He carries the court in his head, like a board game. The pieces will move while he's away, and he's afraid. The master is loaded with hope. Or obsession is how Lord Awil sees it. The star will lead us to the King of Kings, who will rule the world and right all wrongs. The dawn of everlasting day, the victory of good over evil. Potent stuff, and he's more than slightly drunk on it. He eats less and less the further we go. He won't allow a torch or a brazier at rest stops. Our eyes get cozy in the light, he said. We won't be able to read the sky. I only asked once how much further he thought the journey was going to be. That was hundreds of miles back. He didn't know, so he didn't like being asked. He hit me across the shoulder with his staff. It didn't hurt much compared to the burn, but I lost faith in him. I stole a water canteen and started walking, in the day while the caravan slept. Before the sun was down, I was rounded up by locals who sold me back to the master. He didn't say much, except that stomach pain had got the better of him. As close to an apology as I'll ever get. It can't be far now. At dusk, the star was a golden slash, just above a purple rim of hills. By historical accounts, Lord Awil says, Judea's just a narrow strip of land, a fingernail, hanging on to the edge of the world. He thinks we'll reach the Western Sea, with the star still in front of us, before we have time to scratch our backsides. He's not a donkey to chase a dangling carrot off a cliff, he says. He'll be pleased if we fail. He'd prefer there is no King of Kings. But what then? I wouldn't be surprised if the master rode his camel into the sea, or onto a leaky skiff, not looking down to see if his feet are wet. Word in the caravanserai has it that Herod of Judea is at Herodium, his palace in the desert. Over these hills. Lord Awil has decreed Herodium is next stop. We have altered course. The star is over our shoulders to the northwest instead of in front of us. My master's mouth is working, chomping at the bit, and his beard juts forward. Very well. He told Lord Awil, I will ask the Jewish court, where is the one born to be your king? Lord Awil almost choked. This was a matter for diplomacy, he argued. Didn't the Magus realise Herod wasn't born a king or a Judean? He'd been shoehorned onto the throne by the Romans. He'd take it as an insult and a threat. "They'll have our heads," he said. "I'm not worried about that." The master's obsession is burning him away, consuming him from the inside. The hollows around his eyes are ghoulish. He looks like he's only a few steps from the underworld. The palace is a fortress, it turns out, built on a hill. We're behind white stone walls. Massive towers at each corner watch the villages across the valley. Watch for the Romans. Watch for us, the Parthians. We've walked right in, but who knows whether we'll walk out. The feeling of being trapped takes the shine off the daylight. The walls chafe. The Judeans won't touch us. Not because we smell like camels. It's religious. We're unclean. At least they speak Aramaic. They received us politely and put us up in the palace. We left the camels and their cargo outside the fortress walls guarded by the soldiers. Herod is entertaining Lord Awil and the master. Slaves, soldiers and eunuchs not invited. The star is bigger than ever, so low it almost touches the earth. Tonight I can't tell whether it's yellow or red. It's like a spark about to set the world alight. The master did ask Herod. He said it was as if he'd drawn a blade in the banquet hall. The Judean king looked ready to vomit bile all over them. But Herod had seen the star too, and he believed the master about it being a portent. Or he pretended to. He had the Judeans' own priests fetched. They said, going by prophecy, this king should be born in some little town called Bethlehem. So now we're following an ancient madman and a star, said Lord Awil, when they returned to the sleeping quarters, reeking of wine and lamb. Yes, my master said, both in the same direction. I don't call that coincidence. Which clinched it. Lord Awil wanted to get out of there anyway. We're heading away from the palace, into the dark again. I can't feel my hands around the pommel for the cold. I can't see Lord Awil in the lead or my master who is up there beside him tonight. The wind is moaning through the thorn bushes as if it is raked with pain, sliced on their jagged limbs. Or is it whispering doubt, telling us there is only emptiness and dark at the end of our journey? Or perhaps it's sighing, breathing down our necks, telling us to hurry. I can't tell. The star itself seems to be slipping, losing its purchase and sinking, heading for burial below the horizon. Not promising. We've nearly reached the town, village. We wouldn't know it was there, except a dog heard us and started up, and now there's a neighbourhood of them sending up a racket. We pass a cluster of houses, an invisible windbreak. Then suddenly the star flares and is gone behind a hillock. We stop. That's it, Lord Awil says, his voice thin and bitter as smoke. The camels can smell fodder and water and they are restless, blowing their lips. Yes, the master says. I hear him clump his heels against the camel's flanks. The camel picks its way across a slope of scree and rounds the hillock. I follow. He is my master after all, and we have come this far. I honour his starstruck insanity. So I get to see them just after he does, before Lord Awil. In a courtyard, in front of a room hollowed out of the hill, a girl is prodding a tiny charcoal fire. She is a slip of a thing, hunched in a man's robe, which is slung over her shoulders for warmth. She is clutching a child to her, swaddled in rags. Not as if she wanted to protect the child, more as if she thought it would protect her. My master makes his camel kneel and dismounts before he asks, "Is that your son, the King of the Jews?" The girl breathes in sharply, but she doesn't run or cry for help. She answers in a low voice, as if the word weighs heavy, "Yes." When the master hears the girl's confirmation, he doesn't just kneel. He prostrates himself, full length, on the stony ground. Of course I follow suit. So does Lord Awil, when he figures out what's going on. Later, we unload everything in the saddlebags, pile it up next to the firewood and the carpenter's sawhorse, on the beaten clay of the courtyard. The girl and her husband are wide-eyed. The baby is a beautiful child, his eyes dark and starry as the night. We didn't go back via the Judean court. Too dangerous for all concerned. Except my master, he was beyond danger from Herod or any man. His triumph kept him upright until we got over the hills, travelling in the daylight this time. But the first night back in Parthian territory, he lay down beside the fire and finally burnt out like a log does when the glowing coals collapse on themselves. I will always see that star riding ahead of us, rising out of the west, the direction of exile, the place where the sun sinks to its grave, where the master is buried. That's where it rose and burnt above the bleak desert. I travelled half a year of my life in moon shadow, and I know there's darkness of worse depths that gets in your soul and doesn't leave. Fear, pain and grief haunt the courts of kings, as well as the cottage of a slave. But I'm lucky. I saw that star. I saw the child at its end. "Why do we have to travel at night?" I asked the master once, miles from the beginning and longer miles from the end. "Can't we guess? Estimate the position?" "No," he said. "Stars move. We must walk in darkness where we will see its light." The star is gone, but the child's days have begun. I wish the baby king well. It can be a long, rough trip, this life.